Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272.
Out there in Blog Talk Radio Land, this is Brilliant Ideas, and you're listening to the Brilliant Ideas Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome again to another Saturday morning where we talk about food and fun with friends and play some music and have a grand old time. And this morning, I am being joined by our Food News Jersey Style girl, the one and only Laurie. Good morning, Laurie.
Good morning to you.
And how are you today? Everything good in Jersey style food news world?
Oh, absolutely. It's always good. I have you.
Okay, everybody get out your bar bag. Here we go. And we
I
know you do. We also have our wine czar slash czar of all things, Mr. Brian Faratile, joining us this morning. Good morning, czar. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
What's
going on?
Well, I don't know. I brought you on this morning because Laurie's going to be talking about kosher foods this morning, and you're the only kosher guy I really know. And I figured
me?
I
kosher? Me? Kosher? There's nothing kosher about me. How did you say that?
Well, we're not very kosher either over here, especially since we eat lots of bacon.
That's not just the bacon.
I know. It was supposed to be a funny line, but thanks for ruining it. But Laurie's once got some story about kosher food. She read it to me about a week or so ago, and I just found it to be a very interesting story because it has an interesting twist about kosher foods, and for those, I'll say it beforehand, if we offend you in any way, sorry, but that's what we do on the show, and it's not going to be an attack, a religious attack on your religion or anything like that. It's just some information about kosher food that I thought you guys might be interested in hearing. So, without further ado, Laurie, would you like to start the whole series about kosher food?
Oh, boy. I guess I'll be in trouble for this. But and as far as you said, we like to offend people. Don't include me in that.
Well, okay, myself.
That's your job. Is kosher the next big food trend? That was the article that I had found, and I thought this was really interesting because I'm one of those people who think, you know, when I hear the word kosher, I think better. I think, you know, quality. So anyway, the article says on
I'm already interrupting you, but let me just tell you, you asked me that same question. You said, when I say kosher, what do you think of? And what did I say? I said rabbi and a way that you process food. Because I've been in the processing business for 30 years, and I've been to probably 10 kosher plants throughout the country. So I know what kosher means, and I've been there and seen kosher food being produced and know how they do it. So you think it's quality. I say it's a process. So go ahead.
I think, yeah, but that was the survey, because I think most people, that's what you think of right away. And I was laughing because, of course, your answer would be different. You were like no percent of what people would answer. Anyway, on Coca-Cola bottles, I never knew this before, the yellow top recognizes Passover, and it's made with real sugar. And on the red tops of the Coca-Cola bottles, they are the regular bottles, and they use corn sweetener. So next time I see Coca-Cola bottles, I'm going to look for the yellow against the red. I never even paid attention to that. So most people,
now,
when they hear the...
So is it kosher? Is Coca-Cola kosher in the yellow bottle?
Yes.
I think... can I interrupt for a second? I think Coca-Cola is kosher either way. Now, why they're... First of all, the yellow caps would only be issued during Passover. You know, so it's not something you're going to see all year round, you know, on a Coke bottle. But I'm wondering why there isn't kosher cornstarch, corn sweetener.
Oh.
You know, it's like they're now making the kosher for Passover Coke with real sugar as opposed to the corn sweetener. Who are we deceiving? Is Coca-Cola deceiving us? You know, so there's a question. There's a question to, you know, to dig for another show maybe. But
yeah, maybe
we
should at least research that.
All
right, go
ahead.
You
know, that's true, Brian. We may need to make a whole show of interesting take on kosher. But anyway, it says most people, when they hear the word kosher, they think it means the food is better than the non-kosher. And that's the first thing I would think of. And this common view that kosher is somehow better, purer, and healthier than the non-kosher food is an opportunity for the kosher food industry. It says food trends thrive on perception and not reality. Fewer than 3% of the U.S. population are allergic to gluten, but the protein has concerned so many eaters who are convinced that they suffer from this ailment that items without the offensive ingredient are now featured on restaurant menus, packaged foods, and even on the boxes of Rice Krispies cereal.
And by the way, let me stop you again. That's a whole other story that we'll delve into in a week or so about gluten-free that we just found out that even though I'm going to probably offend some more people about gluten-free. And there are some people who do have that celiac, is it called celiac disease, that has an issue with gluten and it can affect them.
Mm-hmm.
Gluten-free has become such a marketing campaign that we found in just a little research that actually if you eat lots of food without gluten in it, it also can cause health problems for people who don't have gluten issues, and that's like another whole story all by itself.
Yeah, you're
anyway.
Right. That was an article we heard.
Remember when lactose intolerant was the trend?
Yep.
I mean, so it's, you know, here we are with trends. Anyway,
yeah.
I want to hear more of this article.
Okay.
Hey, wait a minute, Laurie. Our sidekick, A.A. Ron, who I'm sure wants to dive into this for a moment. This should be fun. He just joined us, too. Let me bring on Aaron.
Yay.
Good morning, Aaron. He's probably at a wrestling match. Good morning, Aaron. You there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Are you wrestling this
hello,
morning?
Aaron.
This is awesome. Trend setting.
What's up, my brother?
What up, brother?
Well, you missed the intro, but
when you hear the word kosher? Oh, I'm sorry. Brilliant. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I think of a friend of mine the other day who went to McDonald's, and they were in line at McDonald's, and the girl behind the counter said, "Hey, do you want one of these holiday pies with your order?" And I said, "Holiday? What holiday are they for?" She said, "Well, they represent every holiday." She said, "Well, are they kosher?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Well, then they're not representing Hanukkah. I'm offended. I don't want anything from McDonald's anymore." And the girl got really sad and cried, and it was awesome that my friend made the girl cry by telling her holiday pie doesn't represent all holidays. That's what I think of when I hear kosher.
All right,
oh,
Laurie,
boy.
Keep going. Go, Laurie.
Should I continue?
Yes,
guys.
I think you should continue because I might have something to say as you continue. I actually am reading the article that you are reading because you did send it to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next part is there is money to be made from people with food issues. and the kosher food industry is at a turning point to become the next gluten-free trend. I didn't know about this either. Over the past 50 years, kosher has slowly been embraced by brands like Heinz 57 ketchup, Manischewitz, Gatorade, Pringles, and Oreo.
Okay, now I'm going to interrupt. There's the operative word, money. Money. Kosher for Passover.
Wait a minute. You guys are talking over each other. Aaron, what do you say?
Oh, I knew that as soon as Manischewitz was mentioned that the czar was going to chime in. Whether it's about money or anything. Manischewitz was mentioned in the article, and the czar now magically has something to say. I knew that was coming.
Well, you know what? I have nothing to say about Manischewitz. I have to say about the word money. And here's the operative thing, money. And that's what happens with every trend. It's a moneymaker. Now, I will say from my experiences, because I did grow up with a mother who kept a kosher home, and I can talk about a lot of things, but that also started when we moved to a house and I was 7 years old. So we already had trends where we ate non-kosher, and then all of a sudden we changed. But the thing about this is that you have, you know, you look at kosher for Passover, all right? They have kosher for Passover section, and they have kosher for Passover mayonnaise, and they have kosher for Passover tuna, and they have kosher for Passover ketchup. Now, what makes it any different from the mayonnaise, the tuna, and the ketchup that's not kosher for Passover? It's, yes, the rabbi, and I know with your experiences in the food industry, Grill, and having to deal with packaging plants and selling products that you sell, that you obviously have to deal with this issue where someone's got to go in and supervise and check to make sure even the products that you're selling them have not been infected in any way.
And it goes back to
what you said
before.
That's a good point, too, Brian. You're right.
It's money, and I hate to say it, but, okay, I sell packaging products, and we have kosher-approved packaging. And the kosher-approved packaging involves simply this. The rabbi from the kosher rabbi crew, whatever, I forget the name, what they call themselves, but they send a representative in. And then you have to verify, and this is what kosher is about when it comes to processing. You have to verify from a packaging standpoint that no animal byproducts were used in the production of your packaging supply. So when the rabbi comes in, he reads the information you supply him that says we have no animal byproduct. He then gives you a kosher certification and fills up the form, and you become certified for 1 year. This has to be done every year. And you write him a big, fat check for $10,000, and then they come back next year and do the same thing. That's what kosher certification is all about. They do it. They also do, like, a quality check of your plant, make sure you meet all OSHA regulations and all the different types of quality specifications. But basically, you have to prove you have no animal byproducts, you write the $10,000 check, and you're now kosher certified. So that's truly how it works in the packaging world.
Yeah. Now,
they're called
Orthodox Union.
That's what they're called.
Yeah, well, and there are different factions of kosher. Like, you'll see products that have an OU on it, you know, an O with a U inside, and you'll see products that just have a K on it. And, of course, the K is not good enough for the ultra-religious that keep kosher. That's just for the ones that say, well, I'll only eat pork on every, you know, alternate Thursdays.
I just want to know, what's so wrong with animal byproducts? Personally,
all right,
I'm
well,
a fan.
Here's, I mean, I did some research on that, and you know what makes meat kosher and not, and what you can and can't eat, and it's interesting. I can go and give you a whole list of all of the do's and don'ts, but there's something about, well, I mean, with kosher slaughtering, you're supposed to get the blood out of the animal as quick as possible, because we're not supposed to have the blood, because the blood is sacrificial. You know, and it's the same thing with why, you know, they say that we can't drink regular wine. We only can drink kosher wine because grapes we use to make wine, and wine was something that they offered up to idols, you know, to idol gods, which, you know, we're not supposed to believe in. So my take on all of this and the sentence that I would give you is, it's not about healthy, it's about obedience.
That's true.
It's all about what people perceive from what they read in the Bible. And I found an article that, you know, quoted all of the, you know, the sentences from Deuteronomy and Leviticus and Numbers and Exodus and, you know, wherever they came from about what you should and shouldn't do. And then, you know, there are other people that go ahead and interpret it in their own way. Now, if it's about obedience, why do we have non-dairy products? All right, are they for the 3% of lactose intolerant people in the world? Yes, they may have been developed for that, but it's convenient for the ultra orthodox who keep kosher, who are not supposed to mix meat and milk. Now they can have milk in their coffee, or they can have cheese on their hamburger and call it a cheeseburger. But they're not mixing meat and milk because the cheese is not dairy.
Czar, man.
You know, so,
Laurie and I have had these conversations before, and this gets off on slightly on a tangent about kosher,
yeah.
But religion as a whole, religion is man-made to a certain degree. What you just described is they made changes to meet certain criteria for people who didn't like the strict diet of kosher or had reasons why they didn't want to, et cetera, but everything is man-made, and it's all done for a certain reason so that the people who follow that particular religion can get by with it and think they're okay. I mean, that's my take on the whole why there's a difference. But
yeah, of course.
And the kosher thing, and I'll add this too, and to answer your question, Aaron, I don't know. The animal byproducts thing, my understanding is when it comes to food packaging or other certification, because you cannot verify that the animal byproducts that may be used in the process of your packaging or whatever you're selling, that the animal byproducts were not produced in a kosher plant. That's why you can't have animal byproducts in your products, because there's no certification to prove whether the byproducts were involved in a kosher plant to begin with. So that, I think that's the reason why animal byproducts.
Yeah, well, it's like people who keep kosher can't eat certain cheeses because the cheeses are made from byproducts of animals. You know, they're cured with byproducts from animals, and they can't determine whether the animals are kosher or not.
Well, here's one of the things. Just based on the what led up to this point, anyone who lives kosher and lives that Jewish religious lifestyle with non-dairy cheese and a burger is going to hell. That's what I'm going to say. Because the idea is that they got somebody to go round and round and round and about different ways to try to come up with a solution to try to find a loophole around what their religious beliefs are. Loopholes are not being obedient.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Trying to find a loophole and coming up with another way is not following the religion that you're going to hell anyway. So eat goddamn.
That's what I was saying earlier. How honest are you with God if you find the loophole? You know.
Yeah.
So
right.
Is it healthier? You know, I don't think so.
So Laurie, we've messed up your whole article, but I want to add one other thing too. When it comes to processing, and I'll give you an example: a kosher poultry plant.
Did you say basically, when it comes to cross-dressing?
Yeah, cross-dressing too, yes. Yeah, when it comes to cross-dressing.
That's what I brought the czar on.
But anyway, when it comes
to
poultry.
Cross-dressing, poultry.
You know what? You're lucky I didn't hear it.
I know.
Yep.
Poultry processing. When it comes to kosher processing, what they do is they actually kill the chicken or turkeys or whatever the same way that everybody else does it, except it's actually done by a rabbi with a knife and they do not stun the animal, and then afterwards they let them bleed out, and this is getting graphic, but this is what they do. They let them bleed out, and then they pack them in salt, and the salt draws out the excess amount of blood, and that's what the whole kosher issue is about the blood and the flesh, and they put it in salt, and then they run it through a brine chiller system, and it becomes kosher because the rabbi's there doing his thing, a group of rabbis, and they bless the product. They put it in salt, but the rest of the process is exactly the same as anybody else out there, the Tysons, the Purdue, the whatever other chicken company.
Yeah, can I add something? Now, the sanction, the legal sanctioned kosher meats, all come from the front halves of the animals that are legal to consume, like a cow or a lamb or a goat, you know, or whatnot. And I even saw that they had they mentioned deer and giraffe. Not that anybody's going to be, you know, I want to know how they're farming deer and giraffe and to harvest them for kosher meat. But the point is that they're from the front half of the animal. And if I'm not mistaken, you guys know your cuts of beef better than I do, but those are all the cheaper cuts of meat that would not necessarily be as good for you as the choice meat that's in the hind part of the animal.
Mm-hmm. Used to be the cheaper cuts of meat. But because of the barbecue world, the front cuts are no longer the cheaper ones. They're just not the good ones. They're not the choice cuts in the back, but they're no longer the cheaper cuts of meat.
Correct. Oh, okay.
Like brisket,
all right.
Like brisket, for instance, is not a cheap cut of meat. It's just and it's a front cut.
Right. And people who keep kosher are not supposed to have anything but well-done meat because you have to kill whatever blood is still left in the meat. Now, to me, what's healthier, eating a charred piece of meat that, you know, that has nothing left in it, or eating a properly cooked piece of meat? I don't know. You know, I really don't know. So the question still is that meat healthier just because they run it through this process and there's nothing left in it and it's been salted and everything else, as opposed to the non-kosher meat that, like you say, is, you know, except for that initial slitting of the throat and hanging the animal upside down and letting all the blood drain out, which I think is rather inhumane. What's healthier about, you know, the slaughtering and the actual meat itself?
And by the way, it has to do with the type of hoof the animal has, too. That's why they can eat certain animals and can't eat others. And why a pig is excluded is because it's considered
it doesn't have a cloven foot, yeah.
Right. It can't have a cloven
foot. Laurie, yeah. Yeah, well,
Laurie,
Laurie, than beef.
Laurie, you want to jump in about that article?
I got three guys against me. I think I'm going to jump in now.
But what I'm saying is the weird part about that is if you're going to split hairs and talk about split-hoofed animals, you can't have a split-hoofed animal, then you look at deer. They don't have a solid hoof. They have split hooves. Just like pigs do. You know, so I don't understand why the line is drawn that venison is okay.
And you know, there are question marks with seafood and stuff because they're not sure about sturgeon because sturgeon has this armor plating on the outside, but yet they're scales. And you know, if you go into any kosher deli, you know, that kind of thing where they have all the smoked fishes, the whitefish and the sturgeon and this and that, sable. They eat it. So why are they saying, no, it's not kosher? I don't know.
I believe the answer to all of our questions is it's all man-made, and it all meets a certain criteria for a certain group of folks, and the obedience thing is like the loopholes, like Aaron said, and unfortunately, that's what it's all about. And Laurie, we've killed your article, but we got to go to our first guest. I will tell you, it does not mean it's better quality, in my opinion, from a processing standpoint.
There you go. That note, are we done?
Yeah, we're done. On that note, I'm gonna take a break, and I'm going to play a Kelly Lang song called Bluer Than Blue. And Mr. Zarman/Kosher Dude, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thanks.
You're quite
Ryan.
Welcome. I hope I destroyed the faith of the kosher world out there.
No, you just were honest and gave your it's an opinion.
Yes, it's an opinion, and that's what we do here. All right,
look,
everybody.
You know, the bottom line is we all have to live our lives and do what's best for us.
Amen to that.
Hear, hear.
Oy vey and amen.
Take care, guys.
After you go, I can catch up on my reading. And after you go, I'll have a whole lot more time for sleeping. And when you're gone, look like me. lot easier. Life will be a breeze, you know. I really should be glad, but I'm bluer than blue, sadder than sad. You're the only light this empty room has ever had. Life without you is gonna be bluer than blue. A whole lot more room in my closet. After you go, I'll stay out all night long if I feel like it. And when you're gone, I can run through the house screaming, and no one will ever hear me. I really should be glad, but I'm bluer than blue, sadder than sad. You're the only light this empty room has ever had. Life without you is gonna be bluer than I don't blue. Have to miss no TV shows. I can start my whole life over, change the numbers on my telephone. But tonight will still be colder, and I'm bluer than blue, sadder than sad. You're the only light this empty room has ever had. Life without you is gonna be bluer than blue.
I'm Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
As the man says, check out Big Green Egg at biggreenegg.com. Find yourself a dealer in your area, punch in your zip code, and go buy yourself a Big Green Egg to cook your kosher meat on. And on that note, we are going to bring in our first guest. We're running behind schedule by 8 minutes, as usual. And I want to welcome our first guest this morning to the show, our good friend, Chef Jesse Jones, the POW man. Good morning, Chef Jesse.
How you doing?
Hey, we're doing okay. Sorry to keep you waiting, but we got tied up with kosher food.
Oh, no. You know what? Actually, I went to sleep.
Hey, thanks a lot.
I had a few, I was listening to it, and it was so funny. I had a few Jewish clients that, you know, they got the kosher meat from the kosher butcher, and he dropped it off, and we had a little discussion, and I was like, this is not filet mignon. He's like, it is filet mignon. And I'm like, this is not filet mignon, but, you know, when you're talking about the low cuts of meat and stuff, I was like, ooh, and then I look at the price tag, I was like, okay. So, I mean, you probably didn't get that, but I'm just saying some of the, you're talking about quality meat, and I'm like, okay, you know,
okay.
Didn't look too much like, you know, quality to me, but, you know.
It's an interesting topic.
I didn't want to get back on that subject. I knew y'all was trying to get rid of it.
No, that's all right. That's an interesting topic, and we just, it's an interesting take on what a lot of people have on kosher. And so, you know, a lot of it's opinion, but there is a process involved in kosher. So we didn't want to offend
the Jewish
world this morning, but we're just stating facts and opinions about how things are done. But anyway, we want to bring you on, and I want to find out what the heck you've been up to since last time. First question I got right out of the gate here.
What's this with you and Oprah Winfrey?
Oh, well, my client that I've just been cooking for, Bershawn Shaw, is her show is premiering in January sometime, and it's called Crazy Sexy Life, and she's a life coach, and, you know, she motivates people, but she's a two-time cancer survivor, you know, at, like, stage four, so pretty miracle, you know, amazing, you know, power woman, and she's going to be on OWN, you know, which is going to be on 24, and I just get a couple of cameos and been cooking for her and, you know, things like that. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe one day Oprah may taste my food and, you know, and then boom, the rest of the history.
So what, you gotta keep pushing. This airs on OWN in January, you say?
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
I think the target date is January 15th. But you never know. It may, you know, it may pop up early, it may pop up late. But, you know, the great thing is that, you know, I get a little, you know, cameo, which is good, because what we do is we keep pushing, you know, in our dreams and, you know, try to make some things happen. And, you know, I was looking at the post, and the delegated guy was like, who is he? I'm like, yeah, that's what, you know, that's my life. That's my life story. I mean, one minute, oh, everybody knows you, and it's old news. And then the next minute, who are you?
Well, I think that you're on the right track. I see one day you're on network. It'll be called POW, POW. Did A-O-W end for OWN? That's something I want to find out, too, about POW.
Okay.
I know you say it all the time, and you're all your posts and stuff. And I don't know if we delved into this last time you were on. I don't think we actually did. But where does the POW come from?
Well, the POW is like, it's so funny. Everybody's been saying POW forever, and, you know, you have prisoners of war, so everybody's seen the POW. Well, my POW is this. One, it started when I was on CBS Channel 2, and I said, I made a joke with John, the weatherman. I said, this was like on air. I said, I can't say bam, so I went POW, and I threw the spice, you know, into the pot. I was making a black-eyed pea gumbo, and I said POW with the spice, and so I felt like my POW was like, man, I'm making it happen. Let's get it. You know, I'm a favorite. So anybody that got a POW, it's me, you making it happen. And, like, if you look good, you got your clothes right, you dress, it's POW. You know, you drive fast for your music, it's POW. You know, POW is like whatever you do. You're struggling, you get up, God, you know, wakes you up in the morning, and, you know, it's POW. I'm up, Lord, and I'm trying to make it happen. Because at the end of the day, who really cares about what you do? You have to care for yourself. You have to make it happen for yourself. And then when people see that you care and love yourself, then they come aboard. But if they see you don't care about yourself, I was at an event, and he's like, two things he said. Do you really think you're photogenic? And what's with the POW thing? So I'm like, I said I was photogenic, but here I am. POW. I love myself, but it took me a long time to love myself. I grew up not loving myself. You know, I didn't have a father growing up, and, you know, it all started like in the playground when a little girl rises up like, ew. It's like, whoa, then something's wrong with me. But that's a whole other thing. Not you, young people. Because, you know, when you're young, you have so many issues, and you grow up with these same issues. So that's what I do. Like, now at 48, I love myself. I love what I do. I feel like I got a gift to cook. I touch people. And it's my passion. My food is my expression of me. Everything that I prepare, you get a little bit of me. You get a little bit of my story. And before my grandmother passed in March, that's what she told me. You're the king, you know, of self. You're king of what you do. Your food is yours. And nobody, I mean, I've trained under great chefs, but they all told me you have to define yourself. And that's what I think I did now. It took me a long, long time to define who am I. And I know exactly who I am. I love my food. I love any chefs that do great food and do great things. But, you know, it's like I'm gonna do my thing. And you're going to get professionalism from me. You're going to get great food. You're going to get a good respect. You know, I'm tight. I'm clean. I'm funny. I have a good time. I'm as real. It's real for me. When I say I'm broke, I'm really broke. You know, when I got it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the man is knocking at my door every day. But, I wrestle fear every day. As I used to be afraid of fear, afraid to fail. But now I'm not. I just say, you know what? I told you this last time I was on your show. I was like, you know, hey, I tackle fear all the time and, you know, and this and that. But, you know, at the end of the day, if you wake up and you rail and you say, look, Lord, I'm trying to make this happen. And, you know, God's going to make it happen. You just have to believe.
Well, you have really made a mark for yourself, and your pal has sort of been your signature, I guess your signature saying. And I follow you on Facebook, and I'm always impressed. You seem to motivate people, and people get behind you, and they understand your passion and understand what you're trying to do. And like you said, you got to believe in yourself first, and everybody else will follow. But if you don't believe in yourself, they're not going to jump on board. So you're doing a great thing, and I want to have you on, too, today to talk about your toy drive. You've got a Santa toy drive that you're working on right now?
Yes, I do this every year. You know, I do it down in Norgus Church, West 7th Street Church. It's nice. I mean, I came on board with a friend of mine and just said, you know what, she moved to Atlanta, actually, and I just continue to help out. But, you know, just to see the look on young kids' face when you get a toy. And I tell you, my friend's been giving us some great toys. And don't forget, I tried to get his picture, but he was so excited last year. But somebody got him a big truck. He was like, really cool. He's like running around. He's like, you know, he's like really excited. And, you know, I mean, from where I come from, you know, I grew up in Newark, and, you know, I was mostly in the project areas. And, you know, Christmas was kind of like, you know, you come outside, you're just playing with like one toy. You know what I mean? Because this is, I mean, not the, you know, see that that's a bad thing, but, you know, just the opportunity to have something. And that somebody care about you, and somebody, because you know, I mean, I know in Newark and in certain areas, there's a lot of kids running around doing bad things. But I always say, like my mother used to tell me, if you put in an effort to show someone that you really truly care for them, you know, they can change. But if you just don't pay them any mind, obviously they're gonna go astray. So that's one thing that I grew up. My motto is just to, you know, pay attention to details. I can't touch, you know. I can't save the world and touch all. If I could touch one life, you know, like when I cook and I got three students, young students, and I only touch one, that's great, because eventually if he gets a little older and start cooking, the other two, you know, might remember, like, oh, you was a chef just in class, and it just rubs off. So I try to work with, like, one situation, mm-hmm. one kid, whoever, you know, so that, you know, things get, you know, get back to my toy job. I do it every year. I cut all the hams. I cut the turkeys. I help them set up. I do a little demo. This year I'm doing a little healthy demo with like a little smoothie, just to kind of get some vegetables and some antioxidants and some different. Being that I've been working with a few cancer patients, I've been learning actually myself for eating and different, you know, what we put in our body as we get older, just to help out. So I'm going to do a little demonstration with them, showing them just, you know, the antioxidants to eat the vegetables, try to, you know, eat fruit and vegetables in your diet, and just explain that to them now while they're young, so they can kind of register a little bit that and that's where it starts, getting them when they're young, because obviously when they get older, you can't really tell them, you can't really tell them anything. So I try to get them young this way. I'm not always going to think that my mom said. So the Christmas drive is great. It isn't. It's not in the greatest area, but you know what? They have people out there, you know, watching, and everybody, hopefully on Christmas, everybody would just, you know, put down the guns, put down, you know, stop trying to steal cars, police Christmas, you know, just to come out and have dinner and fellowship and, you know, mm-hmm. you know, enjoy themselves.
Now, if people want to find out more about your toy drive and some of the other things that you're doing, I assume they can find all this, of course, on your Facebook page and also on your website. We have a link to your website on the show page this morning, and you also have a blog there and talk about some other things on your website. But what other things do you have in the works that in 2014? Any big news you want to pass along?
I have big news. I got in February, they just named me one of New Jersey's top 5 chefs. That's huge for me.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's going to be on the inside jersey. You know, it's going to be like the front page for I always said, I'm not going to name any names of this magazine editor, but he said, you were never graced to cover any magazine, but you know what? Here I am, February. I'm going to be on the front page. So, you know, never believe what people tell you, you know, because you never know what God has in store for you. And I'm going to be cooking for Brashawn, you know, with her show. And, you know, I have a few celebrity clients that I'm going to be, you know, cooking. But like I said, like last time, I'm still trying to work on the PAL cup. I know you saw that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get that to a reasonable price for my fans, because I don't want to call people fans. They say, well, I'm a fan of yours, Jesse, but I don't want to, you know. But the PAL cup, and, you know, I want to get my spice rub out. And, you know, I want to get PAL on my apron. I want it to be a PAL thing, a favorite I want people to just, you know, have all the stuff that, you know, I can offer for, like, the apron and the wine bag. I want that pal in there. I want to get my barbecue sauce out, you know, and things like that. But, yeah, look for me, you know, to try to get, you know, that Chef Jesse live. You know, I want it on TV. I want a show like Emerald. You know, I was always inspired when I first saw Emerald show. I was like, that is me. Big band, music, cooking with my chef friends, fighting on guests. I love it.
Well, we wish you the best, and I think you're on the right, on the definitely on the right track. And also, if everything goes as planned, hopefully in 2014, we're working on our little project too, and maybe we can be working together with your PAL network and what we're doing too with the new radio show format in 2014. So we're looking forward to talking to you about that further too. And everybody out there, go check out Chef's website. I've got it here on the show page, and find out about his toy drive. Help out if you can help out on the toy drive, and we'll be checking you out on the Oprah Winfrey Network, and maybe Oprah will be eating some of your food sometime in the near future. And keep us posted as things move along, and you're always welcome to come back on the show anytime.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me. It's really, you know, really a pleasure and honor. You know, I mean, I know I'm not a nobody yet, but one day I will be, and then, you know, I'll be headlining. You know,
you're a somebody.
You're a somebody now.
Definitely a somebody. And to all these kids and what you're doing, oh my gosh, you've touched many, many, many lives. So
very nice. And have a Merry Christmas.
Okay. You too as well. Have a great Merry Christmas.
All right.
And it's going to be great for grilling and great for Chef Jesse. Bye-bye.
All right, take care. Everybody check out his website and go see all the nice things he's doing, and check out his Facebook page, and you'll find out more about Chef Jesse Jones. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a little J.C. Dawn recipe for love, and we'll be right back here with our next guest, Nancy Baggett. We're going to be talking about Christmas cookies, my favorite subject. Everyone hang tight. We'll be right back.
Of radio is on its way.
food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
And yes, we are back and coming in 2014. If we get our act together, we're going to be going 365, 7 days a week with this crazy Green Ideas Radio. And check out greenideasradio.com in 2014. And Aaron, are you there or do we lose you? I'm here, sort of. I know you love that. I know you love that that the little ad there, because would you say it sounds like Satan?
Yeah. 2014.
Anyway, you like Christmas cookies, Aaron?
I'm not really a cookie guy
at all. That's right. That's not on your paleo diet, is it?
Well, even before paleo, I was never really a cookie guy. Not my thing.
I guess you can go take a nap because, lady, we got bringing on.
I'm actually right now. I'm in the middle of serving pulled pork sandwiches to people at the moment.
Oh, are you really?
Yeah, I got roped into donating pulled pork and running concessions for the team this week. So I'm running concessions for the school at the moment.
Yes.
And we're doing pulled pork and drinks and stuff.
Well, that was you. I saw on your Facebook page this morning, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you were smoking brisket, right?
Pork bark.
Okay. Yeah. You're amazing. You're always up to something. Anyway, let's go talk about Christmas cookies. If you need to go make some more sandwiches, you can take a break while we're talking Christmas cookies. And we're bringing on Nancy.
If I get real quiet, you know where I'm at.
Okay, you know where you are. we're bringing on Nancy Baggett. And Nancy is actually a Maryland person, too, where we are, not too far away from where you are. And she was on last year talking to us about Christmas cookies, which are my favorite subject, because Laurie can attest to that when she buys cookies, especially Christmas cookies, the boxes around here don't last very long. And she's going to tell us the best way to make homemade Christmas cookies. And welcome to the show, Nancy.
Hi, how are you? Merry Christmas happy holidays.
Happy holidays and Merry Christmas to you. And you are the cookie queen when it comes to Christmas cookies in my book, and actually it's in your book, too, to be honest. But I want to have you on to talk about Christmas cookies again. So what's up your sleeve this year when it comes to Christmas cookies?
Well, I always like to try something new and something old, you know, the something borrowed thing. So in addition to the standards, got to make gingerbread, you know, gingerbread boys and little girls, cut out little girls, too, for the grandkids, and my husband loves them, too. And, in fact, my grandkids are like 9 and 11 now, and they love, you know, I've been baking cookies with them since they were little kids. So I'll have them over. We'll mix up some icing. And you can imagine how great it's going to smell. We'll make cutout gingerbreads. We'll make cutout, you know, sugar cookies. And then I'll make something, you know, something new that we haven't made before. I always try to make something to add to the collection because you might get a new favorite, you know?
That's true. So what's new in the cookie world this year? Is there a newfangled Christmas cookie that you're working on?
Well, I've actually been thinking about one that's pretty new. It's new to a lot of people. I've known about it for a while. People who write cookie books would know about it probably. But there's a combination that's really unique and special. It's white chocolate and cranberry. To tell you the truth, I don't really care that much for white chocolate. I find it, you know,
right,
overly sweet. It's a little too creamy and it's a little too bland. But there's a butter cookie that's in my latest book. It's called Simply Sensational Cookies. And this one, it takes either you can use the white chocolate chips, or if they're out of them, I just went to buy stuff to make them. And, gosh, they didn't have any white chocolate chips. So I went over to the aisle where you could buy the white chocolate bars, and I just bought two bars of it, and I'm going to chop that up and use it. But the great thing is you put in some dried cranberries. Sometimes the brand is called Craisins, where they're slightly sweetened, but you can throw those in just like you would raisins, and they add a nice chew. But the thing you can't leave out is that you actually have to buy some of those fresh cranberries that you get, chop some of those up, and throw them in. Well, if you've ever tasted one, they've got a lot of zip and zing, right? And they are just a great counterpoint or counterbalance to that white chocolate. So you've got the mild and creamy white chocolate going on, and then you've got this really zingy cranberry flavor. And, of course, you can imagine, oh, and I forgot, to make them smell good and the buttery dough to taste good, you throw in a little bit of ginger, you throw in a little bit of cinnamon. So when you bake them up, you get this wonderful aroma wafting. And, of course, since you've got fresh and dried cranberries in there, they look pretty and festive, and you just drop them from a spoon. So that's one of the sort of newfangled cookies that's going to be on my menu.
Those kind of cookies, you ever have those kind of cookies that you bite into and it make your teeth hurt? That's not like one of those type that make your teeth hurt when you bite into it.
No. These are not. No, those are, that's, I guess what you're thinking of are the biscotti, where they're like sort of long, thin strips.
When they're really sweet, I guess they call it that sensitive tooth syndrome. But
I see what you're saying. Yes. No, these are not like that because you've got that little puckery quality from the cranberries going on. You chop the cranberries up so you don't get big chunks of cranberry and you don't get big chunks of chocolate because they're either in, you either chop them, if you get the bars, you chop them finely, or if you just throw in the, you know, the chocolate, white chocolate drops. So they're kind of mingled together. No, I agree with you. I don't like my cookies overly sweet. These particular ones aren't overly sweet anyway because of the white chocolate. The dough itself is kind of buttery. Oh, yeah, there's also a little bit of orange in there. And if you bake much at all, you might know that cranberries and orange and cinnamon and ginger all go really well together. So I like them because they're easy. You mix them up in one bowl. You drop them from a spoon. So that's one thing that's new that's going to be on my list.
Sounds good. And I understand, too, that I'm sitting out here looking out the window. I understand that the mailman's coming my way, and if I hear correctly, there's some cookies going to be in the mail.
Yes, sent you some cookies, and they promised me you would get them yesterday, but we know how that goes, right?
Yes, I sent you some
cutout. I sent you some sugar cookies that are decorated. One of the things I love to do is, and I do it with my grandkids, too, because you know how kids are. If you put out some icing, then they can, get a few samples while they're decorating. It's kind of a sweetie craft project, so they have fun with the decorating. But anyway, so I made you an assortment. I'm really sorry they didn't get there. I was hoping that you'd be able to munch a couple on the air. But
we'll do it next week.
Yes.
Well, hopefully,
yes.
You know what, the mailman may have stalled the box because they were supposed to be here yesterday. He's been known to take the cookies out of the box. So I'll let you know if they come in today. We'll eat them on air next week.
Oh, okay. But anyway, there. If they last. Right, I know what you mean. But anyway, everybody likes sugar cookies. So that's what I sent you, some cutouts. I think there's some little stockings in there that I decorated to look like woven stockings, and then there will be some little candy cane cookies with a white icing with some red stripes, and, and some Christmas trees that obviously are green and look like they have snowy boughs. So I hope you enjoy them. And like I say, they promised that they would get there yesterday, but that's the way it goes.
I think I'll be racing
where we live, though, too. We live at the end of the world. So.
Oh, do you?
It's not surprising.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think, and I
really.
Think Laurie will be racing me to the mailbox when the mailman does come here today. So I'll
yep.
I'm gonna cut her off at the pass, and if there is any cookies left next week, we'll eat them online. But we'll definitely take a photograph and put them on our Facebook page.
That would be great.
We'll let everybody know too about your website, which is
kitchenlane.com. Yes.
And they can find out about all your recipes and your books and all that on that website. Anything else you want to add about that?
Well, yes, because the same technique that I sent you, it's called wet on wet. I mean, that's what a pastry chef would call it. What that means is you put down a layer of icing, and the kids did it with the knife, and a pastry chef might do it a different way, but you just smear it on, and then while it's still wet, you put, you know, a little top accent layer on, and then you kind of swirl them together with a toothpick. And if people are interested in seeing what that looks like, even though they can't see the ones that I was hoping that, you know, they'd be available to show you online, you know, on your show, but they can see exactly how they look. And I even have a YouTube video they can go to see exactly how to make them. And really, it's easy, even though they look really pretty. So it's kitchenlane.com if they're interested. And also, I do have a good sugar cookie on there, and the icing that I use to make the cookies that I sent you is on there. So if I've inspired them and mouths are watering, they can certainly get the icing recipe and a dough recipe and look at the video.
Well, it all sounds good. And the one thing before I let you go, I had to ask you, from what I understand, is you and I are supposed to get together, and we're going to do some kind of photo op, and I'm supposed to be wearing, like, a fancy apron, the last I heard. Is this still in the works?
That's right. I've got several pink ones that you could choose from, and some are a little bit frilly. That sounds good to me.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that.
I think we'll work on something.
All right, well, we appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll be on the outlook for our cookies, and we'll post them on Facebook. And everyone check out her website, which is kitchenlane.com, and go find out how to make some scrumptious Christmas cookies this year. And, Nancy, we really appreciate you joining us this morning. Wish you a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas.
You too. Take care and enjoy the holidays.
All right. Thank you. All right, everybody. Check out her website. Go make some cookies. She's definitely the cookie lady in Christmas time. And we're going to take another break. Our next guest is joining us. Her name is Tay Phoenix. She's a singer from Seattle, I believe, up in Washington somewhere. And she just actually started her program. That's how we met her online. And she's come out with a new CD. I think it's called Outside the Lines, which is something I do. I never call her Inside the Lines. But she's coming on. She just got the green light from Kickstarter, got the money, and she's coming out with a new CD. We're going to play one of her songs, and hopefully she'll be calling in here shortly. The song I'm playing is by Tay Phoenix, and it's called Damned Old Flame. We'll be right back.
There's a story you must hear. Please learn my lessons and avoid all my tears. There's a man out there with a bullet just for you, and if you don't watch out, he's gonna shoot your heart clean through. When there's a demon in your sheets with fire in his eyes, let him take you higher, but don't believe his lies. If you can't see through his motives, you're a puppet on a string. The only trouble here is the damned old, damned old flame. If you're programmed by the system, then you'll fall for all his games. The only trouble here is a damned old, damned old flame. Listen, little sister, there's a story you must hear. Please learn my lessons and avoid all my tears. Your value can't be measured, but it'll make you feel ashamed. Baby girl, please watch out for the day.
And we are back. I feel like I should be like in a smoky bar with a strip pole. Laurie, get off the strip pole after
It does have that kind of sound.
Aaron, are you still there? Are you still making pork sandwiches?
I'm still here. and by the way, I wanted to mention something in the last segment that we're all aware of. Those cookies show up. Laurie will never see one because she will beat her to the middle box. And she will never get a few.
I won't.
We know how really. The only reason Laurie's
going to
know
we got
there,
he'll woof them up, crumble over, and he'll just.
Yeah. He's going to wait until they're gone and then post a picture on Facebook and say, oh, Laurie, you missed out. Say, sorry.
I know. I'm sitting here waiting for the little red truck to come by that makes the delivery. And if I disappear, folks, for a little bit, it means I'm running out to the mailbox to get the cookies.
You won't have a choice. I'm going to be running down like a crazy trying to beat you.
We're going to hear computers dragging down the road. They're going to be running down the driveway, tripping each other.
Clank, 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 clank. Oh, I'll be on his back. I'll say, piggyback me. Then I'll be on his back trying to knock him down.
Epic battle of the ages over some sugar cookies.
Now, that's a post on Facebook. Me on your back.
Well, we're supposed to have Kay Phoenix joining us here in a couple of minutes. And of course, she hasn't called in yet, but I'm looking at the little clock on the wall, the little Mickey Mouse clock on the wall. Actually, I'm ahead of schedule now. I was behind, now I'm ahead. So maybe she'll call in here.
You got three or four minutes.
Huh? What'd you say?
You got yourself caught up. Did a good job.
Yeah, I'm all caught up now.
For all of our time wasting at the beginning and ruining Laurie's segment.
I know.
Yep.
Oh, well. It was
yep.
fun, though. I don't know how many people we ticked off during that whole process, but oh well.
Trust me, I was really glad that I was able to control myself because there were so many other things that I wanted to get into. I'm like, you know what? This segment really has to end right now because we're going to make the entire world mad. And you cannot make the Jewish community mad and survive as a radio show. You just can't do it.
No, you can't. You know, I always say you never talk politics and religion, and I think we did kind of both on that whole segment, but oh well, you can't please everybody. So, how many sandwiches, I'm trying to stall time until Tay Phoenix get here. How many sandwiches have you sold so far?
I don't know. I really don't. I haven't even counted the money, but I feel like I have made a million sandwiches today. I mean, it's been nonstop. I mean, they're not big pork sandwiches. I mean, we donated all the meat, and we cook it all and donate all of that. And then all of the money that's made from the sales goes directly to the team. So it goes back towards
uniforms
and all this stuff.
Yep.
All of it goes back to them. So, you know, it's not, we don't sell them for a lot. I mean, they're a dollar for a small sandwich if you're a wrestler, and $2 for a sandwich if you're a parent. And that's really
I have no idea why I'm getting ready to ask this question, but it just popped in my head, which most of the time I have no idea what I'm getting ready to say. But do they have cheerleaders at a wrestling match?
They have team managers. And their team managers are usually girls who help kind of learn and cheer on, and they do stuff for the coach, like, you know, they keep score, they help the score, the refs manage the score on the clock, manage time and all that stuff. But usually that's what you have. It's the closest thing to a cheerleader. They have usually two or three girl team managers.
Okay. Well, I don't know why.
You don't know why.
I have no clue. But I'm just, you know, bing bang, kick them in the knee, bing bang, bass, kick them in the other knee. I just wondered if they had cheerleaders there. I don't know.
Aaron, are you surprised you would ask that question?
Absolutely not.
I'm surprised you didn't ask sooner.
That's what I'm saying. I'm really upset that it hasn't been asked prior to today.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have our guest joining us. That we just played her song called Dan Bell Flame, and Tay Phoenix is joining us because I was running ahead of schedule, and hopefully I think this is her, and we're going to bring her on. She is calling in, I believe, from Seattle. Good morning, Tay Phoenix. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. We were just listening to your song, Dan Bell Flame, and I said I feel like I need to be in a smoky bar with maybe a strip pole or something while listening to the song. And I hope you're not offended by that. But you have a unique sound to your music, sort of a sultry bar sound. And welcome to the show. We enjoyed your song. We're going to play a few more of your music here in a couple of minutes. But I mentioned earlier before you came on that you had just recently were on Kickstarter. And you were trying to, I think, raise $4,000, and you raised like almost double that to get come out with your new CD. So tell us a little bit about Tay. I'll shut up, which it's hard for me to do. Tell us a little bit about Tay Phoenix and how you got into singing, and tell us a little bit about the Kickstarter program.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, so Tay Phoenix is sort of a creation. She's like my given name is Teresa. And in college, people started calling me Tay. I sort of wanted to create this character that was like a hyperbolic emphasis of sort of some of my own character traits. And so that was how it came to pass that I, you know, became Tay Phoenix. The Kickstarter, you asked me how I got into singing. I'll tell you about that first. So I'm actually an opera singer. Training, did a lot of musical theater, and then after high school, I started performing in jazz bands and just, you know, doing jazz standards, and that really appealed to a different musical sensibility. One of the things that jazz and opera have in common is that there is actually a lot of room for improvisation. Which a lot of people don't know about opera, especially kind of earlier opera. There's a lot of room to kind of make up what you want to do with certain parts of the song at the singer's discretion. And so I was able to sort of bring some of that to jazz, and then all of a sudden, you know, I started writing my own stuff. I'd been playing the piano for a few years, and I started kind of tinkering around with, oh, hey, what happens if I write some poetry and then put music to it? And the next thing I knew, I was a singer-songwriter. And that was many years ago. I kind of took a hiatus from music and kind of did like the normal person thing where I went, you know, to an office job every day and sat in a cubicle and worked on technology problems. And a couple of years ago, a good friend of mine passed away rather suddenly, rather unexpectedly. And I realized that, hey, you know, I'm not actually all that happy doing this. I should probably be doing something I am happy doing. And so I quit my job and became a full-time musician, and I teach voice in Seattle. And so far it's been really great. It's been
pretty cool. So you were in the business world, sitting in your cubicle, solving the problems of the internet world and things like that. You just said, I'm just not happy. And then your friend passed away, and you basically said, life is too short. Let me go do what I really want to do. And it looks like it's actually turned out to be a good move for you. And now, is this your first CD or second CD that you're working on Kickstarter?
So this is actually my fourth studio album. So I recorded a couple under my given name that I don't think are widely available anymore. If anyone's really interested, they can get in touch with me, and I'll be happy to share the tracks. But one of them was a little proof of concept demo that I recorded when I was 15 with a couple original songs, very early stuff, and then a couple of covers and a couple of songs that my piano teacher had written. And then when I was about 19, I went in the studio with my jazz band, and we recorded a bunch of standards and one original song that I had written. And then I took my hiatus. And when I got back in 2012, in June of 2012, I released an album called Rise, which I recorded here in Seattle with Pete Stewart, who is a 2-time Grammy Award-winning producer. Now I'm happy to say a good friend of mine. I like Pete and respect him a lot. We had a good time recording together. So this is the fourth project. It's actually done. The album is recorded. The Kickstarter was to raise release costs, and to raise seed money for my band and I to go on tour. and just to kind of get the music out there. So the goal of the Kickstarter was to get the music into as many people's hands as possible. And I think that's part of the reason it was so successful is because there was already a finished product ready to go. And I was able to, the day after the Kickstarter closed, deliver that product as a digital download to all 148 of my backers that bought the CD in its entirety. And so that was a really, like, it was an instant gratification thing. And I think that's part of the reason I was able to be successful
And it's called Outside the Lines, is that correct?
Outside the Lines.
And which is basically based on the coloring outside lines, which is what I've done all my life. And I saw the drawing on your Facebook page of you as a coloring book character. And I want to play one of the songs here that you sent to me. It's called Does She Know? And now, is this part of Outside the Lines?
So no, it's not. That one's from Rise. I sent you so the one we just listened to, Damned Old Flame. That is from Outside the Lines. This one's from Rise.
All right, well, this one's from Rise, and it's called Does She Know? We'll come back and chat with Tay here after we play her song. Everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back.
You didn't need to lie to me to keep me in your bed. I like being there without strength, so why'd you play with my head? Now you found a new attraction. She's become my new distraction, I'm afraid. Does she know?
And that was Tay Phoenix and her
Her song's called Does She Know, and Tay's joining us this morning on the radio show. And you can find out more about Tay Phoenix at tayphoenix.com. That's TAEPhoenix.com. And so did you write that song, the last one we just heard?
Yes, I did. I write all my own stuff.
You write all your own stuff. So what's been the plans now since you doubled your Kickstarter program and got double the money? Does that mean you're going to be going double the places?
So we are working on that now. I'm trying to, you know, God, I love my band. I mean, they're so unbelievable, both as musicians and as human beings. And, you know, we're all sort of, we're not your typical 20-something musicians. We're all in our 30s or 40s, or in one case, and I won't say who, in their 50s. And so we are
a real old guy, huh?
Well, you know, I mean, in this business anyway, I wouldn't say he's younger. He's very young. He's a very young person in all the right ways. And he's a really terrific member of our group. But, you know, the flip side of this is people have kids. They have, you know, they have day jobs and in some cases mortgages and, you know, and things that they need to do. It's, we don't travel as light as some of the younger musicians that are around. So finding ways to make sure that these guys can fully participate and still be in their family lives is proving a little tricky, and we're trying to figure that out. But what we do know is we are going to be at South by Southwest this year, this coming year. So we'll be there from the 10th of March through the 15th. We've got a couple of showcases that will be announced in January. They're done deals. We just can't talk about them in any detail yet. And so we'll be using some of the money to get ourselves to Austin, and we'll be using some of the money to then, you know, use as seed money to get to do a couple of smaller tours, I think, around the West Coast and maybe down through the Southwest as well at some point. And so those are sort of the big items of the moment. I'm also working on, you know, finding some public relations support for the album. And, you know, a couple of other marketing expenses really is really like how I wanted to spend this money was on getting the album to as many people as possible and really making sure that that music has a chance to shine.
Well, congratulations on the success so far. It sounds like you're moving along quickly and things are going well, and keep us posted as things develop. And if people, you want to find out more about Tay, like I said earlier, you can find her on her website, tayphoenix.com. You can also find her on Facebook. That's how we located you originally. And then she's got a Facebook page, Tay Phoenix, and keep us posted, and have a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas. So then I'm going to play your last song at the end of the show, which is actually a Christmas song. I'll close the show out this afternoon with your song, White Christmas. But thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's not mine. It was actually written by my cousin, Irving Berlin, I'm really proud of that. Yeah, he was, well, my first cousin three times removed. He was my grandmother's cousin.
Wow!
And I never,
oh my gosh!
Never had the opportunity to meet the man, but lots of great family legends, and you know, I like to think that some of the composing gene came my way, which is kind of a cool thing to have in my background.
Well, that is really cool.
Yeah, and if people want to find out more about me, they can also follow me on Twitter. That's where I'm actually most active online, and.
Okay.
They can also listen to a lot of the music. They can listen to Rise, the entire album of Rise, on my website at tayphoenix.com. They can listen to some live recordings. There's tons of videos. There's lots of ways to get to know the music and get to know the bands that are available
Great.
There.
Well, thank you very much. Everyone, check out everything she just said and then some, and check out her music. It's great stuff. And welcome back anytime. Keep us posted.
Thanks so much. Thank you for having me. It was great to be here.
All right,
here.
Sure thing. Take care.
Take
care. There you go.
Bye-bye.
Tay Phoenix, tayphoenix.com. And, guys, we're running close on time. We got about 5 or 10 minutes. And, Aaron, you still dishing out pork sandwiches?
Yeah, I think we're actually wrapping it up. It's getting a little crazy right now, but I think it's getting close to wrap up, Tom.
Well, thank you for joining us there from the wrestling match, and slamming the hash out at the concession stand. And I think you're there to see who's actually wrestling today.
Do what?
You're actually at the wrestling match to watch who?
Lenora's youngest, Spencer.
How's he doing, by the way? Is he winning? Is he winning his matches?
He's doing all right for someone who's only been wrestling for about 3 months and been practicing and training and doing all these things about 3 months. He's doing really well.
Well, great. Well, go enjoy the wrestling match and all the pork sandwiches, and we'll let you go.
All right, man. You guys have a great afternoon.
Later.
Bye.
All right, and by the way, folks, we're going to be taking a little break ourselves for the next couple of weeks for the holidays, and it will not be a live show next week or the following week. We won't be back until January the 5th. Yes, January the 5th. And I want to thank everyone this year for all their support, all the guests, singers, and the chefs, and the people, and also want to thank all the people that help support the show, like Sunblessed Orchards. We could not do the show.
Oh my gosh!
Without her, her real name is Carol. You guys see her on Facebook, but she lines up a lot of the talent that we bring onto the show. If it wasn't for her, we couldn't pull the show off each and every week. And also wanted to thank Laurie, of course, with all putting up with me and also all of her food news, Josie style stuff that we do each and every week, and Aaron, too. I didn't say thank you to him, but thank you for his support. He's always doing
Brian.
Something.
Brian.
Oh, yeah, Brian. Funny. Speaking of Brian, look who just happens to be calling in. That was a great segue there, Laurie. Looks like I don't know if he has something else to add for Kosher, or if he just wants to listen to our wonderful voices. And the Czar Man, we're getting ready to sign off the show. Did you have anything else you want to add, or are you just listening in?
Well, I was just listening in because for some reason my computer crapped out and I couldn't listen there. I think I'm having a Friday the 13th moment all over again on Saturday the 14th. No, I did want to wish everybody a happy holiday. I didn't, you know, out there in Brilliant Land, I didn't get a chance to do that. And you know, I was listening to the cookie segment, and I thought that I needed to let you know that the Czar actually swooped in on his magic carpet and took the cookies because they
were
so
good.
Oh, that's why
they are. That's
you know
why.
What, Brian? We'll share. You can have them.
You know, they're
them.
Not.
I'll get the recipe and make
look,
them.
Guys, they're not kosher, and I don't want you to feel like you know, you're eating something that's not healthy.
All right, Kosher Man, thank you for your well wishes. You have a Merry Christmas. Well, I guess you don't have Merry Christmas. Is Hanukkah over, by the way?
Hey,
everyone.
I have everything. I celebrate every holiday under the sun.
Everything. Of course you do. You're a holiday czar, I'm sure. Well, thank
that's
you for helping
right,
us out
you know?
This year and looking forward to for 2014 and our round-the-clock food network. I can't wait for that. But thank you for all your support and have happy holidays
I
for
want,
the rest of the year.
I want the 2 a.m. slot.
You yeah, okay. We'll see if we can fit. We'll see if we can fit you in. Everybody, we're gonna call a end of the show. I'm gonna play White Christmas, which was actually a very interesting story that I haven't heard. Who wrote that? Irving Berlin. All right. Well, I'm gonna take off out of here. Everyone, enjoy your holidays and come back.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
In January, and this is White Christmas by Faye Phoenix. And everyone, have a nice one, and we'll see you next year.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may be white.
Thank you very much, folks. Have a nice night. Merry Christmas.
place a baby. Slip the table under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, an outer space convertible to light blue. I'll wait up for you, dear Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be oh so good if you'll check off my Christmas list. Brittle, brittle, Santa honey, I want a yacht, and really that's not a lot. I've been an angel all year, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa cutie, there's one thing I really do need. It's a deed to a platinum mine, Santa cutie, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Santa baby, and fill my stocking with the duplex and checks. Sign your X on the line, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. For that Tiffany's, I really do believe in you. Let's see if you believe in me. Ba-doo, ba-doo, Santa baby, forgot to mention one little thing. A ring, I don't mean a phone, Santa baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight.
You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why.
Why?
Why? 'Cause a Santa Claus is coming.
Two, three, four.
Well, he's making a list, checking it twice. Gonna find out who's naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees
feels so good. Can we say it one more time?
Santa Claus is coming to
Santa Claus.